But anyway, it is good to be back here tonight. Of course, we'll have business meeting right after the devotion. I'll try to be fairly quick. But if you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to Psalms 90. Psalms 90. I think that this psalm really deals with our perspective and how we ought to look at life. And understand a few things about life in general. We'll read just a few verses, pause for prayer, and pray that the Lord will challenge us to think biblically. It's always good to approach life from a biblical perspective. The Bible says this: Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but a yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are asleep, and in the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and the evening is cut down and withereth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We're thankful for the Word of God, and I pray that you would bless this message tonight. I pray, God, that you would challenge us in our thinking, and but God, help us to look at life through a biblical perspective in a way that you would have us to see life. And God, that we would value the days that you have given us and realize the brevity of life, and God, the responsibilities of life, and God, help us to live a life that would bring you glory and honor, and one that would trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was searching one time for a funeral message. I really didn't know the guy. I knew him somewhat. His son had been killed in an accident, and I grew up with him. We were friends, and honestly, I didn't think those folks liked me too much because their sons was friend with me when I was pretty ornery, okay? But after I got in church and started serving the Lord, I guess they took a better liking to me, especially after several years that they felt like it was genuine. And I remember the last few times I saw them, they were really friendly to me. But it wasn't that way in early days. But their son, I knew that they had always been very church. They always went to church, and Kevin had a good testimony. He, as a young man, he wasn't one that pushed it on you, but he certainly wouldn't do the things a lot of us would do. And I believe it was a direct impact of his mom and dad and the life that they lived and in his church life. But we look in here, and it deals with some things right off the bat about death, that it is coming, that we will die, and so how we approach this perspective. A lot of people have an idea that God's people should never sorrow. And when we read in the Bible that when Paul wrote that you sorrow not as others that have no hope in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he didn't say sorrow not. He just said sorrow not as others, like the ones that don't have hope. We should sorrow. It's fine. It's normal to sorrow, but it's not normal to sorrow like we don't know God. Big difference. And so Abraham, when his wife died, Genesis 23:2, he wept. Joseph wept over his father in Genesis 50. David wept over his son Absalom. That you'll find that many of the devout believers wept over Stephen in Acts chapter number 8. Jesus, even when he came to back to Bethany and he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, he wept. So I have a hard time believing if the Son of God wept that it's wrong for us to weep as well. We sorrow, but I think the key is that we have a hope beyond this world. And I think that we should look at life through the lens that God would have us to look at things, perspective. It helps us to put things in the proper evaluation. If you're just looking at your achievements and the amount of time you have with someone here on earth, you're probably going to end up disappointed because there's never enough time and there's never enough achievements. There's never enough money to make you fully satisfied. Never. Our satisfaction comes from God. And so the first thing we see here is that there is one who is sovereign over life, who is one who is a superintendent of our life. He talks about that thou hast been the dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains ever came about, before you formed the earth or the world, he said, you have been, or from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Think about that. Before the world came into existence, this one who superintends everything that is happening, one who is not absent from his creation, not absent from the involvement of the people that he's put here, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye the children of men. What's he mean? You turnest man to destruction. Well, men die. Men just eventually they fade away. But he says, but return ye children of men. From the beginning of creation to man's end, God is over all this. And we see this. He is one who sees it all. He's one who's in control. I don't care which side you are on election. I have my opinion. You have your opinion about things. But one thing I know for sure, that God's still God. And that he's not up for re-election. And everything's good. That's the perspective that I have, and so we ought to do everything that we can. And I'm going to vote my values and my convictions, but I'm not going to fall apart because there's a God who's above all. And so I better move on. I don't want to spend too much time in this, but we see that the frailty of life, or just the softness that life has. Look in verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. We think 1,000 years is long, but God, that's just like yesterday. Obviously, he's speaking somewhat as a metaphorically, almost as a hyperbole with God, that 1,000 years are just nothing. That was like looking back yesterday. And when it's passed, as a watch in the night. In other words, it passed, and it's just like sitting through, like staying up for the Kentucky ball game. Right? How many did that? Besides me. I'm probably in trouble this year because we didn't have TV last year. And I got to watch about 4 games, and I was enamored watching last night, and I was tired this morning at 6 o'clock, and Jill was moving around too much, waking me up. Okay, it is what it is, but it passes quickly with God. It's nothing big to God, and to us it seems like a long time, but it's not. He said, "Thou carriest them away with the flood." It's almost like God just sends a flood, and they're all gone. It's no thing. He says, there is sleep. In other words, have you ever laid down? This rarely happens to me. It happens more that I have a CPAP now. But I lay down and go to sleep, and it seems like you just laid down and it's time to get up. Life passes that way. And Danny's joked many times, it's like a roll of toilet paper, gets faster toward the end. Right? We've all heard him say it. The truth of the matter is, life is speedily coming toward us, and it passes quickly. And he says, listen, he says, as morning they're like grass. Like the grass that grows up is cut down and it withers away. Life is short. We see it is frail. He talks about the shortness of life in verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Now we know God's angry with the wicked every day, and we know that God's going to judge this world, but all thy days are passed away. We spend up our years as a tale that is told. Now, somebody may tell you a story, and I love hearing stories about my family, grandpas and great uncles, and how life was back then. We hear it. We might listen for 10, 15 minutes to those stories if it's a good one and it's a long one, but guess what? That story's told and it's gone. There was a whole lot more to that life, weren't they, than just that story? But you know, in the big picture, there ain't a whole lot to us here upon this earth. Why is that? Because our time's short. We ought to measure our days. In fact, that's what he goes on to say. The days of our years are 70. He says 70 basically are what it is. And by strength they are 80 years. They're 80. And yet it is their strength and labor and sorrow. Because guess what? The older we get, the frailer we get, the sicker we get. It's just what it is. We sit around and whine about it, but he goes in verse 12, he says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I think this is key. Because this brings us to the next idea. Not only do we see how short life is, but we're to number our days that we apply our hearts to wisdom. Why? Because this life's a stewardship. God has given us this life, and we are to manage it for His honor and His glory. We are to use it for His ability, for to share the gospel and to live our life and to make an impact for the generations to come. He says in verse 13, "Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." I think it's important that we have perspective of this. Our life is something God's placed in our care to manage. That we, and once we understand that God's in control, what ultimately happens is, I believe that we live in satisfaction, that we are pleasing God, and we're glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. I'm thankful we can be glad even in spite of all that. And so, but here's what he talks about: the striving or the struggle, the fight of life. In verse number 16, notice this: "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children." Now, he says, let thy work, what you do in us, appear before the people that serve you, and thy glory unto their children. In other words, work through us that our children may see your glory. There's work to be done. There's things that's the striving life. He goes, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us." In other words, God work through us. "Yea, the work of your hands establish thou it." But it's not only for His glory, but for our children. So the reason that we labor and the reason we live our life is to pass something down beyond material things to the generation behind us, that they might see God work in us, that they might know the God of heaven, that they might see His glory and they appreciate all He's done. Yes, he talks about death. He talks about responsibility. He talks about accountability. He talks about all these things within this passage. But you see, death for the Christian, and the thought of it shouldn't defeat us. In fact, we should be thinking of the reality of heaven. It should sharpen our anticipation about being there. It should enhance our reality of how short life is and help us to get busy serving and living for God. So this psalm is one that teaches us about life, and I think we should look at life from this perspective. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Thankful for Wednesday Warriors and everyone that is here, and God help us to be pleasing to you tonight. And Father, we thank you we can gather together and carry on your business for your honor, for your glory. And Father, help us all to take a look at our life and let us measure our days. Help us to see what time we may have left. And with the days we have, may we say, you know what, I want to accomplish this for you. Because we know there comes a day and a time that we're unable to do the things we would like to do. So God, help us while we have ability, while we have opportunity to do and to be what you want us to be. And Father, I thank you for this night. Pray, God, you bless this study in Jesus' name. Amen.